Hello and welcome to the Bridge City Church podcast. If you would like to get connected, you can find us on Facebook at Bridge City Church. Or come along to our Sunday service at 10 a.m. We'd love to have a coffee and a chat. We hope you enjoy this week's message, brought to you by Pastor Robin. See you at church.
If you have your Bibles with you, could you turn to the book of Matthew, please? Matthew chapter 7, and we've got the scripture up there somewhere, I think. Judge not, that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. And I just want to read it from the Message version as well. Don't pick on people. Jump on their failures, criticise their faults, unless, of course, you want the same treatment. That critical spirit has a way of boomeranging. It's easy to see a smudge on your neighbour's face and be oblivious to the ugly sneer on your own. That's pretty strong, isn't it? Do you have the nerve to say, let me wash your face for you, when your own face is distorted by contempt? It's this whole travelling roadshow mentality all over again, playing a holier-than-thou part instead of just living your part. Wipe that ugly sneer off your own face and you might be fit to offer a washcloth to your neighbour. Heavenly Father, we just thank you today that your word is truth, your word is life, and your word is, Lord God, our all in all. It's our measuring stick. It is our roadmap. It is our love letter from you. It is the thing that rebukes us. It corrects us. It directs us. It encourages us. It inspires us, Lord God. And we thank you, Father, that in this house, your whole word, your whole scripture, the whole tenet is preached from Genesis right through to Revelation. And Father, we just thank you today. Father, I pray for each one sitting under this word today, Lord, that you would touch each heart. Father, you know every need. You know every place that each one of us is at. And I pray, Lord God, that no one will leave this place without something special from you today that is directive, that is encouraging, that is corrective, that is, Lord God, the next step in their walk. Our walk with you. Father, I ask that you would make my tongue as the pen of a skillful writer today, Lord, to bring to your children, your people today, exactly what they need to hear. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Okay, so this can be a really challenging message, but, you know, I've been really challenged by it in the last couple of weeks. You know, you look around and you see people, you think some people have got it all together and some people haven't. And I started to think about what judging really is and what the definition of judging is. And we all know in a witness stand that the judge makes a ruling according to the evidence that's presented. And then I started to think about it in terms of us as Christians. And then I thought the word hypocrite is so strong. It's used so strongly in that context. I thought, why would God's own people be guilty of judging and be hypocritical? And then I thought, you know, it's the world we live in because we're visual people and we're stimulated visually. And the things that we see are the things that impact us initially. But the things that we see are the things we need to bring into the Spirit and bring through the Word of God to understand exactly what it is that we're seeing. The definition of judging, it means that you're forming an opinion of a person or a situation from a few actions or a few pieces of evidence that are presented to you. Judging is making an assessment of someone or something based on the knowledge that you have or the knowledge that you assume you have. Judging is making an assessment of a good or a bad situation, a dangerous or a safe situation, before you commence a series of actions and attitudes towards that. So is there a place for judging in the life of a Christian? I'm going to be really controversial here, and I'm going to say yes, there is. Because we really need to discern the times we're living in. We need to discern the things that God is wanting us to do. We need to be able to discern good from evil. We need to discern dark from light. And we need to be able to judge between those things. But when it comes to individuals and people, I think we need to take a really, really careful stance and bring everything back into God. What would you have me see? When you're looking at people, listen to God. When you're listening to people, look to God. Can we have the next slide up, please? Appearances can be deceptive. When the slide's up there, I want you to take a look. There's three photos. Are you having it? Yep. And when you look at these three pictures, now instantly you look at them and you form some sort of an opinion based on what you're seeing. The man on the left, man in about his 60s, African-American, pondering, you know. You look at it, have a look and just think. Now, what are you sensing as you look at that? The married couple in the middle on their wedding day, one of the happiest days of your life. And then the man on the far right. And when you look at those pictures, what do you see? And what are your opinions? And do you instantly form an opinion on each one of them? Number one, number two, number three. What do you see there? What do you discern? What do you reckon it's all about? I did a study this week looking at images. And just saying, God, what would you have me know about this, this one or whatever? The man on our left, would you think he's a good man, a kind man? Just show of hands. Yes, good. Yep. Right. This man's a serial killer. His name's Samuel Little. And he's responsible for the confirmed deaths of over 50 people, but he claims to have murdered over 93 people. He's still in prison to this day. What about the couple in the middle, the married couple? Their names are Carla and Paul Bernardo. Good, nice people, kind people, people living a tragic life. What do you think? Good, bad? They're a Canadian husband and wife team who teamed up not just as husband and wife but as killers. Amazing. One of their first victims was the bride's 15-year-old sister. You see, you look at people and you form an opinion. You look at those and you think, oh, what fresh faces, what life in their eyes, you know, what potential in these people. And yet, we can be so wrong. We look at people in our world and we judge wrongly so often. We've got to look at it through the eyes of Christ. The third man, what do you think? Pretty straight-laced? Do you think he might be a preacher? Do you think he might be a pilgrim father? Do you think, is he a serial killer? What do you reckon? This man's name was George Muller. He was an incredible Christian evangelist. He lived in the 1800s. He cared for over 10,000 orphans in his life. And look at the man, just a kindly little smile on his face. How often do we look at people and think you're not capable of much because of what we see? But it's the God potential in every single person. Looks are deceptive. Don't judge a book by its cover. You've ever heard that saying? It's amazing. This man, he established 117 schools. He provided education to more than 120,000 people in his lifetime. And he was an example of incredible faith. One day, he and his wife actually took 30 children into their own home. And one day they all got up to have breakfast and they sat at the table and there was no food. And he said, let's give thanks for the food. And they gave thanks for the food, and then there was a knock on the door and God provided the food that they all needed. He was an example of God's amazing provision, amazing grace. That amazing little man. Looks are deceptive, aren't they? So judge not that you not be judged. And chapter 7 of Matthew is a powerful chapter. It covers so many areas. It talks about judging not. Then it says, don't cast your pearls before swine. Then it says, ask, seek, knock. Then it talks about entering by the narrow way. Then it says, you'll know their fruits. You'll know them by their fruits, good or bad. And then Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you. And then he says, in the last bit of chapter 7, build on the rock. And the rock, as we all know, is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a massive chapter. But it's prefaced with, judge not that you not be judged. So what are we talking about here? How do we judge? And we can look at each other and say, oh, I don't judge people. I don't do that. You know, and I'm sure you don't. But I'm looking at myself. And sometimes the opinions that you form on situations and people, and we can be so quick. I can be so quick to go down that path of the carnal instead of the spirit. We judge in our thoughts, in our words, and in the things that we do. When you're listening to someone, look to God. When you're looking at someone, listen to God. We are people of the spirit. We're people of the word. We belong to Jesus. And, you know, these five verses in Matthew talk about, you know, being hypocrites. And, you know, you want to ask any person that's outside of the church, what do you think of the church? What are the concepts of the church? And a couple of weeks ago, Scott preached a message and asked about what you expect the church to be. And hypocrites was a word that came up. And I think that was the beginning of what God started to work in me through your message, Scott. Because when people think of the church, so often they say, oh, there's hypocrites in the church. And this is what Jesus is saying as well. And what, there's no hypocrites in the world? Absolutely there are. But we should know better. And we should do better. And we should continue to submit ourselves to God so that whatever he wants to do in us and through us is not restricted by maybe ungodly attitudes or thoughts or words or deeds that we might have. You see, the word says, Jesus said, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And that's not a carnal love. And it's not a physical love, it's a spiritual love. It's an agape love that God gives us for each other, that we can look at each other and see the God potential in each one of us and see what people are going through. Sometimes you see people because the pain that you see in their faces and behind their eyes, you know, the smile on their face is just the facade. You know, when you look at people, listen to what God's saying to you. When you look at people, listen to what he's showing you. And when God reveals something about someone's life, it's not to broadcast. It's for you to pray about. It's for you to have empathy. It's for you to pull alongside as God directs and say, how are you going? I love you. I want to walk with you. I want to encourage you today. I want to be there for you. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. You see, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. In Samuel, 1 Samuel 16, the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And isn't that beautiful? We've been pastoring 23 years now. And we had a young lady who came to faith in Christ when we were at Renmark. And she got set free from drug addiction and alcoholism and lots of other things that cause lots of pain in people's lives. And I can remember her saying to me as she began her walk with Christ, "God does know my heart, doesn't he?" I said, "Yes, he really does know your heart." And we need to be mirrors of compassion that Christ would shine through us to each one that, yes, we love you, we accept you. We might not like what you do, but we're going to leave that to God because God is the judge. But the other part of it is that if you see your brother or sister sinning and you know that they are and God speaks to you about it, then we do it in his love, in his timing, in his manner, and pull alongside and say, "What about?" It's not that we're doing the job of the Holy Spirit, but if God is showing us something we need to encourage, to assist our brothers or sisters with, then we do it in the love of God. Pull alongside, say, "Can I help you with something? I see you're struggling. What is it that you need?" And it's so subjective too, because you hear people say, "Don't you judge me." Has that ever been said to you? "Don't you judge me. You don't know what I'm walking through." You see, you can't walk in someone else's shoes. You can only walk in your own. You don't know what people are walking in. You can empathise with them if you've walked in a similar path, but everyone's path is different. And we all respond in different ways to our circumstances. Some throw themselves into work. You go through a time of trial or tragedy or something, and some will throw themselves into work. Some will put themselves right out there. Others will completely retreat and withdraw. They're all coping mechanisms that we develop as a defence mechanism as we walk through life, because life is hard sometimes. It's good, but it's challenging. And we develop ways of coping with those things. Would you change the slide, please? We don't want to be looking at axe murderers all service. Thanks. We develop ways of coping with things. And we look around at ourselves, you know, and we judge according to the path that we've been on. We judge things according to our own experience or our own lack of experience, perhaps at times, when God's just wanting us to take a deeper step into him so that he'll give us, we have that understanding and know that whatever others are going through too, we can pray for them. We can encourage them. Sometimes we can be a physical assistance to them as well. You know, sometimes you can make a meal for someone or just send them a nice text thinking of you today, or, you know, just touch base. It's that sense of community that the body of Christ is, just what Caleb touched on in his communion message, that sense of community that we're not walking alone, we're walking together and we're walking in the love of God. And we've got no agenda. We need have no agenda other than God's own agenda for us all. We need to see through Christ's eyes. And you don't know another person's potential, like those photos that we saw. Who would have thought the potential for good or for evil in anyone? I read something else this week too. I read a piece of writing on the resume of the apostles. And it was in the form of an email, and it was to Jesus, son of Joseph, woodcrafter's carpenter shop, Nazareth, from the Jordan Management Committee. "Dear sir, thank you for submitting the resumes of the 12 men you have picked for managerial positions in your new organisation. All of them have now taken our battery of tests, and we have not only run the results through our computer but also arranged personal interviews for each of them with our psychologist and vocational aptitude consultant." So this is the resumes of all of the apostles. "The profiles of all tests are included, and you will want to study each one carefully. As part of our service, we make some general comments for your guidance. Much as an auditor will include some general statements. This is given as a result of staff consultation and comes without any additional fee. It is the staff opinion that most of your nominees are lacking in background, education, and vocational aptitude for the type of enterprise you are undertaking. They do not have the team concept. We would recommend that you continue your search for persons of experience in managerial ability and proven capability. Simon Peter is emotionally unstable and given to fits of temper. Andrew has absolutely no qualities of leadership. The two brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, place personal interest above company loyalty. Thomas demonstrates a questioning attitude that would tend to undermine morale. We feel it is our duty to tell you that Matthew has been blacklisted by the Greater Jerusalem Better Business Bureau. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus definitely have radical leanings, and they both register a high score on the manic depressive scale. One of the candidates, however, shows great potential. He is a man of ability and resourcefulness, meets people well, has a keen business mind, and has contacts in high places. He is highly motivated, ambitious, and responsible. We recommend Judas Iscariot as your controller and right-hand man. All of the other profiles are self-explanatory. We wish you every success in your new venture. Sincerely, the Jordan Management Consultants. Isn't that amazing? See, we look at the outside. We look at, what we see in the natural, but we need to look with our spiritual eyes and see the potential in people. You see, sometimes as leaders and pastors and in those in positions of authority in business, there are God-given gifts that help you to see and identify traits in people, just like the Jordan Management Consultant. But it's got to be a God thing. It really has to be a God thing. Sometimes God gives us a vision of someone ministering in a certain area in the church, but it's also a partnership because you give people have opportunities to do things, but it's a choice to submit to God as well in the timing of God and to walk in that path that God has for each one of us as well. The other thing that we do, I find sometimes, is we compare ourselves with others. And if I'm being really honest, sometimes when we compare ourselves with others, we feel pretty wretched because you see the potential in others and how they're achieving, and you look at it in the light of what you feel like you're doing or achieving for God, and you can, you know, you feel pretty yuck at times because you think, you know, I'm not measuring up. But God is our measurer. God is our judge. God is the one who He appoints, He anoints, He equips, and Jesus is the one who leads us in all things. So don't compare yourselves to others. Don't ever do that. Just look to God and say, Lord, am I doing okay today? Because today is what we've got. You can't change yesterday and tomorrow hasn't arrived yet, but we can make those choices. Lord, you know, I might have blown it. I might have messed up, but I'm thanking you, Lord God, today that you've given me another chance to serve you today. So don't be hard on yourselves. Just let God's grace just flow through you and just purpose to fix your eyes on Jesus, not on people, and be the best you that you can be. Sometimes we feel the need to fix others. Sometimes we feel the need to reject others. Sometimes we can justify the words we speak or the actions we take that we are being led by the Spirit. And sometimes we are, but sometimes we're not. And we're not judge, we're not jury. Sometimes we condemn others through our words. Sometimes we do it with our actions. We need to be the love of God to our brothers and sisters, and doesn't mean that you have to take an axe murderer into your home and let them bunk with your kids. God gives us wisdom as well. But it's that love of God and walking in His discernment and His wisdom that will keep us on that path that he has for each one of us. And everyone's path looks different. Everyone's walk is different. And we all have dissecting lines where we cross over and you know, you walk with some for a little while and then you move a little way and you walk with others. Some you walk through with the whole of your life. Others come into your life for a season. Others, the season is one where there's a time of stone against stone, rubbing our rough spots off each other. It's just me. Rough spots. God wants to work in us his character, his amazing grace, and set us free from the things that limit us from serving him to our fullest capacity. Amen. Galatians 5 says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbour as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfil the lust of the flesh." And Proverbs 10:11, "The mouth of the righteous is a well of life." I love that. A well of life. "But violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Wisdom is found in the lips of him who has understanding, but a rod is for the back of him whose lip who is devoid of understanding. For if you judge, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and this measure, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. We mustn't judge rashly or harshly or uncharitably or unmercifully, but we need to judge with the discernment that God gives us and then act in the love that God has put in each of our hearts for each other. And if you don't feel love for your brother or sister, you need to ask God. You need to repent first up. God, my heart's not right. Forgive me. Wash me, cleanse me, make me fresh, make me new. And then put that love that you have for your children in my heart so that I can walk in the grace that is mine in you. Pull alongside of each other. Counsel them, don't judge them. Scripture makes it really clear that there's one supreme judge of all, and it's the Lord God. He alone has the authority to determine right and wrong motives and behaviour. And if we presume to judge, you know, if God had our nature, and then I came to God and asked him to forgive me my sins, and he had a human nature, there's no way in God's green earth that he would forgive us. I wouldn't forgive me for the things I've done. But God, he does. There is no one outside of the love of God. There is nothing that you can do or can have done that is too big for God to forgive. For God's grace covers everything. God's grace is incredible. There's only one sin that can't be forgiven, and that's as a Christian. But you know his amazing grace is so incredible that when you think, look, if I was judge and juror, I would condemn, but God doesn't. We condemn ourselves, we really do. What judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. How do you think you'd go if God judged us as severely as we might sometimes judge others? Would we get into heaven? Would we find salvation? Some days, yes. But other days when you're having a rough day and you're really ticked, yeah, not so good. But we also have to be real about how we feel. Because sometimes it's our emotions and our feelings that point us and direct us to things in our own lives that we need to deal with and we need to bring to God. We need him to bring that healing for us. God will sort it all out. And then you think, what about the wicked? What about those ones we saw up there? What about them? I think it's Psalm 73, I think it says, "Lord, why did the wicked prosper? Why do they get away with everything?" Well, you know what? They don't. They might for a time, but in the light of eternity, God sorts it all out. He sorts it all out. Genesis chapter 18, verse 25. "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right He does right. At the end of the day, he sorts it all out. So we can leave those things that have been done to us, those unjust things or unjust things, the cruel things, the rejections, all of those things that have been done to us throughout the course of our life and the things that are yet to come, we can leave it all to God. We've got to keep our hearts pure. We've got to keep our minds washed with the Word of God. We've got to keep praising Jesus. We've got to keep loving Jesus. We've got to keep learning more about Him. We've got to learn the words in red in the New Testament, because all those words that are spoken are the words of Jesus. And if we get those words into our spirit, He does the changing. He does the converting. He does the lifting. He does the cleaning. He does the dissecting off of all of the cancer in our soul, the stuff that's happened to us along our life. He does it all. It's all in Him, through Him, by Him, with Him. The words of red, the words of Jesus, their spirit and their life, and their life-changing, and their hope-giving, and they're breathed by God, and there's a purpose in it all so that we can walk in Him and walk in His truth and not be judging or hypocritical. How are we going for time? I've got 4 minutes left and I've got 4 pages of notes yet. Wow. Are you all okay? Okay. James chapter 3 talks about the untamable tongue. Can salt water and fresh water dwell together? And we all know those scriptures. And then it goes on and says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? Thanks be to God who gives us victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. We don't need to stay in that place. We don't need to stay at that place of pain. We don't need to be there because Jesus has made a way for us. Take it to the cross. Take it to the cross. Lay it down at the foot of the cross. If you've wronged your brother or sister, go to them, love on them, ask forgiveness. Release forgiveness if you've been hurt, if you're the one that struggled or suffered. And then go back to that cross. It's all the cross. It's all been done for you. And it's continuing, it's past, present and future. It's all there for you to partake of, to walk in that victory that Jesus has for you. You know what? We just got to sort ourselves out, people. We really do. Because there's a world that's lost and dying that needs us to speak life into every situation. Because there's people that need to see the hope we have, and His name is Jesus. There's people who need to know that there is a hope. There's people who need to know that there is an answer for everything that ails, everything that we're going through, and that we don't need to be in the depths of despair for more than one night. Psalm 30, weeping remains for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. And I'm not saying put on a false smile and put on a happy face and dance all the time. You've got to be real about how you're feeling. But take it to Jesus, because He's an amazing Saviour and He will do it for you and He'll fix it. And it might take a little while and you might have to stand in patience, you know, having done all as you go through your battles. You stand and then you wait and you put your trust in Jesus, not in circumstances, not in people, and you wait on Him and on His word, and you put your trust in Him and your faith in Him, and He'll do it. So we haven't even got to the speck or the plank yet, have we? The speck and the plank. All I'm going to say, and then I'm going to finish, is that a speck is a mote. It's a tiny thing. But a plank in your eye. I remember seeing Joyce Meyer speak on this, It's like a plank that sticks out from your face, and every time you turn around, you whack someone with it. You got the capacity to wipe them all out because you're not dealing with your own plank. Come to Jesus. Bring it to Jesus. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me, change me. Change me. Change me. Amen. Amen. I'm going to finish there. Do you still love me? I love you. And God is good. And he's righteous. And he's merciful. And he's all-knowing and all-powerful and all-forgiving. And he wants to work in your life today. He wants to give you the hope. And I'm over time. Heavenly Father, we just thank you today that you are the most incredible, most righteous, most holy God of the universe, God who created all things, God who made each one of us, God who loves us so completely that you sent your only Son to die in our place. You forgave all of our sins. You've cast them away from us as far as the east is from the west. And Lord, you've given us a life. You've given us hope. And you, Lord God, didn't judge us. You took us in and you loved us and you are doing the changing in us. And Father, we commit ourselves into your hands today, Father. And I pray, Lord God, that, Lord, where we have been judging, Lord God, you forgive us. Where we have looked at others with disdain or a wrong attitude, Father, forgive us for what we've thought or said or done. Lord God, I pray today that you give us your eyes to see the things that you want us to see. Father, when you show us, Lord God, the things that are at fault, Father, help us to understand and walk in the wisdom that you have for us to know what to do and what not to do. Father, that in all things we would walk in your love, that we would deal with the planks in our own eyes, Father God, and not judge the specks in others, Lord. Lord, we can all say, I am all I have, but I have you. So God, we ask you today to work in our hearts, to create in us a clean heart, to renew a right spirit within us, Lord God. And Lord, restore to us the joy of our salvation so that we can walk in that joy and walk in that purpose and that plan that you have for each one of us, that not one of us would be idle in the things that you want us to do, Lord God. But Lord, cleanse our hearts and heal our hearts from the things that have made us less than desirable, Lord God, in our attitudes. And Father, we thank you that you are our refuge, you are our strength, you are our shield, you are a very present help in a time of need. And Lord God, we just thank you that you've given us a future, you've given us a hope, you have called us, we're accepted in the Beloved. And Lord God, you've said we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And we might look at ourselves and think, I don't feel very wonderful or very, very beautiful or very handsome or very significant. But Lord, you say we are. You say we are. And you've called us for a purpose. Father, for each of my brothers and sisters in this place, Lord, you know what everyone's going through. Lord God, minister to every heart this morning, Lord. Minister that fresh anointing, that fresh touch. Help them to see, help us to see with your eyes. Help us to glorify Jesus in all we do, that all men will know we are your disciples because of the love we have for each other. And Lord, we give you praise and we give you thanks. You are so wonderful. You are so amazing. Thank you, Father, that you're the God of the next chance. In Jesus' most precious and wonderful name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you enjoyed today's podcast, make sure you subscribe to stay up to date with all our latest sermons. If you would like to get connected, you can find us on Facebook at Bridge City Church, or come along to our Sunday service at 10 a.m.